Hello, everyone, and welcome to our final episode of Fierce 5 for 2020. I'm Jeff Aristi. It's been an exciting year at Fierce 5, one filled with great guests and insightful ideas. So we thought we would cap off our final episode with Fierce's very own Louise Gonzalez. Louise is a global communications consultant, coach, and Master Fierce facilitator with more than 20 years of experience. Louise talked with us today about being a Fierce facilitator and how Fierce has changed him.
Talked a lot about Fierce in previous podcasts, some of the ideas, the philosophy, but actually just from a practitioner point of view, from one trainer to another, I mean, what's it been like for you training Fierce over the years?
Coming from a training and a facilitation and a learning background, I've always been looked at or looked to as the one with the knowledge and the skills that I will impart to everyone in the classroom, sometimes as the subject matter expert. And with Fierce and with training Fierce Conversations, I've had to step back a little bit from that or shift my mindset, if you will, shift my context to one of, hey, there's plenty of tenure, experiences, and excellent solutions in the classroom amongst the people, the attendees themselves. And so that was one of the shifts that I made early on in my career with Fierce as a Fierce facilitator is, hey, I'm not necessarily the expert here. I do have my own experiences that may be valuable to other people if I share them, tips, tricks, etc., with regard to Fierce Conversations. But I had to kind of let go of being the expert, if you will, and really tapping into the knowledge, the skills, the expertise, and the advice, if you will, from the group, from the attendees and their own colleagues. After all, they work for their own organizations. They know the culture of their organizations, and they can provide sometimes better solutions than I can.
I mean, it's because I train mainly in a European context. You're mainly in a US context. I mean, how do the Susan Scott's ideas classically land? This idea of authentic, powerful, meaningful communication, being visible, standing up, saying perhaps the uncomfortable things, creating a culture of authenticity. Does that generally resonate easily with people, your side of the pond?
Yeah, you can't see me smiling right now, but I am, because it resonates in theory, everything you just mentioned. People, yes, generally will nod their heads and say, yes, let's talk about that. Yes, in theory, this all sounds great. And I often get pushback, or I sense hesitation for various reasons from some of those participants who will, in one side of their mouth, say, yes, absolutely, this sounds great, let's do this. And then later, only to find out, well, this is all great on paper, it looks great on the PowerPoint. Luis, I get what you're saying. I agree with these concepts. And oh, in a perfect world, wouldn't it be nice? But you don't understand the culture in our organization.
What's your kind of response, again, as a trainer and as a coach in that situation? And maybe it's interesting also for leaders listening in, how do you respond to somebody who pushes back when what you're trying to give them and encourage is really a kind of a radical transparency in a committed and powerful and accountable way? What do you do when somebody resists in that conversational
piece? If you want to or need to or feel that you need to speak up, come out from behind yourself, be candid, with a leader, with a boss, or someone that holds some sort of power or influence within the organization, but you're afraid because, or hesitant because you've seen the pushback, you've seen heads roll in worst case scenarios, you've seen the repercussions. My thoughts are this. Look, first of all, in your own mind, weigh out the pros and the cons. In other words, this is a basic fierceism. You know, if I don't have the conversation, what's at risk? What are the costs? What might happen? What might this look like if I choose not to say anything? What's this going to look like next quarter? What's it going to look like 6 months down the road? And if there's a lot of cost, if there's a lot of damages, risks to you personally, or perhaps the team or the organization at large, weigh out on the other side, flip side of the coin, what would I stand to gain if I actually have a conversation and it goes well?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. A lot of people associate with this term fierce, strong levels of assertiveness, which is, of course, part of the philosophy. But it's interesting listening to you because, of course, embedded in having fierce conversations successfully is high levels of humility.
Yes.
And making sure that the other person absolutely hears where you're coming from.
Absolutely.
Clear message of modesty. Yeah.
Absolutely. And even I might add, sometimes depending on the situation and who it is you need to address this with, I might even add, you know what, this is really difficult for me to do. It's challenging for me to, you know, share this information in an upward direction. Probably wouldn't use those exact words, but, you know, give the indication that, yeah, I'm a little nervous to do this. And there might be more to the story that I don't know, but what I do know, if we're headed in this direction, I see some results that we probably don't want.
But what links it all together is this real commitment to explicit communication,
right?
Yeah, speaking out when you see something, surfacing your emotions, surfacing your intentions, in the belief that when the other person hears that, they will engage with you positively.
Absolutely. And even if engaging positively means, hey, you got it all wrong, let me share with you, new information has come in, or there are missing pieces that you aren't aware of, let me share that with you. That could also be part of the conversation. And then thus we provoke learning.
Can I ask you, I mean, there are these four core models as part of FIERCE that I'm familiar with.
Yep.
Beach ball, confrontation, conversation, the decision tree, which is around delegation, and of course, coaching. Which for you personally do you enjoy working with, and why?
Personally, I enjoy working with two, and one of them you didn't mention, and it's a model, but we don't really call it a model necessarily. It's our foundations, and that's the introductory piece that everyone must take before venturing out into those other models. So first of all, why I love our foundations model is because with foundations and the tools that we present in foundations, the ideas, the four objectives, and the seven principles of a FIERCE foundation, with that, a person already has really good tools, helpful tools to help them navigate all kinds of conversations, difficult conversations, challenging conversations, just with those foundational concepts and principles and objectives. And so that will right there is a good way to kind of start, if you will. So I like to include that as one of my favorites. I really enjoy seeing the aha moments, if you will, of the participants when, you know, I present these ideas and these principles and these objectives, because they make common sense and people get them. And we have a way of just kind of putting it into language and encouraging people to go out and use those tools in their conversations. So that's my first one. Then the second favorite, or maybe I wouldn't even quantify it like that, my other favorite is confront. Why? Because we've probably all had situations in our lives, professionally or personally, where we know we needed to confront someone or confront a situation or confront some behavior, and we tend to hold back. Those are difficult conversations many of the times for us to have. We hesitate, we fear backlash, we fear ruined relationships, we fear being wrong. The fear holds us back, and holding back from those kinds of conversations generally does not get us a good result. In fact, it can exacerbate the results that we don't want to get.
You know, I think, Louise, one of the things we need to mention is that you've been doing this for a very long time now, right? So I guess my question to you is, you have changed the way people communicate at corporations, people in various roles. But I'm just wondering, you mentioned earlier, what do you gain by conversations? But what has FIERCE changed in you and how you communicate with others?
This is something I never really, I guess, realized until I learned about FIERCE and began to train for FIERCE and facilitate for FIERCE. And that is starting with interrogating reality and starting with interrogating your own reality before going into conversations. I always started, and, you know, for just the way I was raised, perhaps, or how we learn, and, you know, it's a context we have, but I would enter, generally speaking, enter into conversations knowing what I wanted to prove, knowing the point that I wanted to make, knowing what I wanted to get across, what I wanted the other person to understand about how I thought about certain things or felt or what have you. And FIERCE really taught me to step back, number one, and say, hey, wait a minute, before you even start this conversation, what's your motive? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to enrich a relationship, trying to just get curious and know more about something or someone, trying to support? Or is it about you looking good? Is it about you getting an ego stroke, getting some spotlight shined on you? And I speak for myself here, you know, sometimes I don't shy away from the spotlight, and that's ego. And FIERCE has taught me to step back and say, hey, what's your motive here? First of all, what's your intention here? So it's the first real, I guess, lessons you could say that's impacted me from Fierce Conversations. And the second is the concept of context. Wow, that was a game changer for me. And I understood, you know, even prior to joining Fierce, everyone sees reality different. But this idea of context and how we view and interpret life and events and people through a context, through a filter, through a lens that's been formed by our past, our, you know, our truths, our values, our beliefs, our assumptions, all these things, including culture where we were raised, all that. And so for me, understanding that I have a context, first of all, interrogating my reality, I already mentioned that, and now understanding what's my context? What's forming the way I think or believe about this situation, this person, and how might this other person that I'm about to engage in the conversation with, what might their context be? Those two ideas right there, interrogate reality and context. Everyone's got a context and we operate through that context. So we got to get clear. What's my context? What's yours? And am I willing to change it?
That's it for this episode of Fierce 5. Happy holidays, everyone.